Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. Happy, lucky Friday the 13th. We are pretty excited for the summer months. Lots of great fairs and festivals happening. Butterfly Moon Designs, which is my company, will be at the Garlic Festival coming up June 29th. And we'll be talking with the founder of that. And he is just calling in now, so we're going to welcome him to Alive to Thrive. His name is Mark, and we really appreciate him calling in since it's so crazy busy just the weeks leading up to the festival. So, Mark, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
Hello, and thank you for calling Alive to Thrive. We're just excited to talk about your festival and how you got into growing garlic and your passion. I actually attended a garlic festival in California about 20 years ago and tried garlic ice cream and garlic beer, and so I know you'll have a few of those things too. How did you get into growing garlic?
Well, it started with I come from a long line of farmers, and both of my parents were born before the war. They were Victory gardeners. I grew up literally at mother's knee in harvest, you know. So so the passion has always been there, but it really started when in my late teenage years, when I was on my own, and you know, and I'd have my tomato plants growing. I would look out the window come fall and winter time and see absolutely nothing growing out there, and it was sort of depressing, you know. And it's like, you know, it's wintertime hasn't even come, and you're already waiting for spring. And garlic is a crop that can fill in that gap. And so that's initially how it started. Later on, after I realized that really only one-third of the garlic that's consumed on this in this country and on this continent is actually grown here, was another reason to promote it. And when I moved out of Chicago, and I was farming up in northwestern Missouri, late 90s, you know, the early aughts, and I became the treasurer to the Livingston County Farmers Market. And these people had been there for a long time, way before I. And I didn't want to, compete with any of them. So I found out who was growing what and decided to grow, you know, things that they weren't. And garlic was one of these crops. So I basically just started growing it. And it just rolled from there. And then in 2005, I moved to St. Louis. I bought a home in the city and was working, local here. But still the farming was there. And so I started a lot of urban farming initiatives, and then people were just looking at me. I was just this kooky hippie farming on abandoned city lots, and then the market took a downturn, a horrible nosedive, and then all of a sudden everybody started, like, the people who were looking at me like I was this strange backwoodsman in the city farming, they were like, oh, my God, you're on the, you know, you're doing what we want to do. But garlic was one of these crops. Garlic was one of these crops to where your ground wouldn't lay fallow over the winter, fall, and spring, that you can actually have another production crop come out. So that's really how it started. But St. Louis Garlic Fest itself was born out of, early on in the days, was born out of just garlic farmers getting together and sharing recipes, sharing things. And from that, it just, you know, it just ballooned. And about 5 years ago, we decided to open up the doors. It was by invite only originally, just by invite only. You could only get invited if you knew somebody or if you actually grew garlic. And about 5 years ago, we decided to swing the doors open and call it our first annual to, you know, to allow the public in. And 3 years ago, a couple of, you know, local bigwigs in the city, you know, talked us into basically making this an open public festival. And it ran from there.
So. Awesome. Well, so are you a full-time farmer now?
Yeah, actually, some people think that I actually have a twin. If you followed me on Facebook, I get so much done. But not only am I a business owner, but I'm also a farmer. Yes, ma'am.
So, and so how many acres are you farming right now?
In the city, we're in 2.4 acres in the city. And then we have 10 out in an adjacent county. And that's primarily where we're growing at right now.
Okay. And so with the downturn in economy and a greater interest in gardening, and also just a greater interest in organic and healthy and getting away from GMOs and all that, you know, are you teaching other people how to get started?
Not only that, yeah. We basically have the mission statement of Gateway Garlic Urban Farms is pretty cut and dry and simple. It's teach people how to grow food to feed themselves, teach people how to grow food to feed people who can't feed themselves, and teach people how to grow food to sell to make money so that they can feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the heart of that, you know, has always been there. I had found out right away that I was just doing what I was doing, and you know, I wasn't really really openly teaching, and people just began to flock around me, you know, trying to learn what they can, you know, so that they can duplicate it. In some business models, that would be completely frowned upon, you know, and, you know, I openly encouraged it and said, yeah, hey, you know, steal what you can from me and, you know, move on and duplicate this. And so that's really where it began from there. And it was something else was that because we had so much land and, you know, and we were always into experimentation, we began to mess around with different techniques in solving some of the woes of urban farming, especially here in St. Louis. When I was in Chicago, we had some great black dirt, and in Wisconsin, great black dirt. But here in Missouri, well, there's a lot of clay.
Yeah.
And so often tilling and going below ground is not an option. At least one that is favorable to your back and lumbar region. So we began to experiment with alternative ways of growing above ground, and that caught a lot of people's eyes and attention. And like case in point, back in about 2006, I had read a story about a woman who was she was suffering from empty nest syndrome. All her children had basically flown the coop. And she was left with all these blue jeans, and she didn't know what to do with. So she started filling them with dirt, standing them about in her yard and planting potatoes in them. And they looked like people that had been cut off at the waist, you know. And
oh,
she had
my
all
God.
These rows, and it was just fantastic. But I had a supply of coffee bean sacks, and I thought, man, I could do the same thing with coffee bean sacks. So we started growing in these burlap sacks. And then people started basically copying that. A funny thing was, back in, I think, 2010, a friend of mine had sent me something in Facebook. He goes, you know, you got to read this. And it was all in German. I, I, I couldn't even read it. I'm like, I don't know what this is saying. He goes, well, get Google Translate. And I got Google Translate, and I translated it. And it was these urban farmers in Germany. They had been following us on Facebook, watching us plant the potatoes in the sacks. They took that idea and started doing carrots in them. And they were growing carrots all the way around the sacks.
Oh, my God.
And I had seen that. And so I was like, oh, my God, you know what? I never thought about that. So the next year, we did onions, copying their method, copying us. And we just began to feed off of one another. It was just, it was fantastic. And now we're growing all sorts of crops, in those. And growing in the sacks are great because after they've been out in the field, for a while, the bottom rots out. When it comes time to harvest, you yank up on the bag. All your produce and dirt fall out of the bag, and you just basically pick your produce up off the ground. You're not even lifting a shovel. So.
Oh, my God, how incredible. Now, people in the city could actually have those sacks on their porches or patios, right?
I would basically, put a little pan underneath them. For the most part, especially in South St. Louis, some Barmy nitwit had the idea long ago that they should dig up the backyards and pour concrete in them, which probably was great circa 1964. But, with the downturn of the economy, everybody wanted to start growing their own food. And these people were complaining that they couldn't grow in their backyard because of the concrete. And that's where the sacks came in perfectly. The people could basically set the sacks right on the concrete, itself and not have any problem with it. So
what are the crops that are grown in these sacks now? Potatoes and onions and garlic?
And garlic?
Do you grow garlic?
Radishes, yes. Oh, yeah, garlic, radishes. You are only limited by your imagination.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
I know people growing corn in it. I know people growing flowers in them. It's really, for the most part, you really are only limited by your own imagination.
Crazy. Now, are you selling your garlic to any of the local markets like Trader Joe's or any restaurants?
To restaurants, yes. To the local markets, no. I am selling to certain chefs. I collaborate with a few chefs, and it basically goes to their restaurants. But for the most part, I hook some of our collaborative growers up with the stores and stuff like that so that they have an outlet for their produce. For the most part, most of the garlic that I grow supports the festival itself. So there it is. And then we give away a lot of seed. Seed garlic, that is. So we encourage people to grow, and there are sometimes, especially dealing with the inner city, one of the problems with growing is economics, and people can't afford some of these things. And when it comes to garlic seed, commercial garlic seed is going for anywhere from $18.99 a pound to up to $25, $26 a pound. And so we basically just toss seed away for free. We gave, some like 30 pounds of garlic seed last year to someone who ran one of the local farmers' markets just so that he can always have fresh garlic for the market.
Wow. Now, so what's the benefit of growing locally and for people to buy local versus, who knows where your garlic and vegetables are coming from, what country and the conditions it's grown in, the pesticides, et cetera. So tell us about the benefit of buying locally and eating locally.
Because it's sustainable. It is sustainable. In Europe, they have something that's often called zero kilometer. And we often speak about this here in America. A zero kilometer means that it's coming directly from around your area.
Okay.
And when it comes to, and the term was originally started with these restaurants and B&Bs that had local gardens right outside the restaurant. And the food that was being served in the restaurant was literally coming from hundreds of feet right outside, the back doors of the establishment. So there's not all this fuel cost spent trucking this food around. We live in a culture of scarcity. And it's basically, I'm not going to get on a soapbox here, but it's the corporate world that has created this. And they created a whole bunch of middlemen who step on your food like drug dealers step on dope. And there's a lot of crap between you and your food. And long ago, your almost everybody listening to this, this show, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, they all lived seasonally, and they all lived locally. The produce was harvested. They knew how to keep it. They all operated root cellars, and they lived seasonally. They weren't eating cherries out of season. They weren't eating apples out of season. And if they were eating apples, they had a root cellar, and they knew how to keep them. There is the food that is grown here commercially, locally, isn't actually really consumed here. It's trucked off thousands of miles, sometimes even more than that, to be consumed somewhere else. And food that is grown somewhere else is being trucked into here. Like I said, that is a culture of scarcity, and it's really unnecessary. What it has done is it's just created a whole bunch of middlemen who make profit off of your food. One should say that the consumer should be picking up that price, but in the spirit of capitalism, to keep prices low, they're always basically, it's the farmer that ends up paying it in the long run because he's forced to sell his produce at a cheaper price or not sell at all. Places like Walmart are infamous for this. Walmart did the same thing with Rubbermaid, but that's a whole different story. And that's literally what they do, is that these corporate food groups and these corporate buying circles, they've created the monopoly on the food. And then, of course, we know what biotech has done with seeds and how they're trying to monopolize that as well. We're all about seed sovereignty and food democracy. Whether you're an atheist or whether you're a person of faith, the bottom line is that your food and the seeds used to create it are your inalienable birthright. You can't give it away. It can't be taken from you. And we work to preserve that.
Interesting. Well, I'll be having someone on my show on July 11th who is, her name's Stacey Malkin, and she's working on the GMO issue in California and some legislation there, what they're trying to do. So make sure you tune in July 11th because we'll have another very interesting discussion with that industry. So getting back to the Garlic Festival, so you've started this 4 or 5 years ago. It's now a public festival. And so what can people expect? What will be there? There'll be obviously garlic vendors. And what kind of interesting products are being made now with garlic?
Oh, the whole gamut. We've got, as far as the food vendors go, there's, of course, the garlic ice cream. That's always a big hit. And then there's all sorts of different hot food products. People are being very they're being very inventive when it comes to garlic and how it's being used. And there's we'll have popcorn garlic this year, which is a fantastic idea. It's difficult for me to wrap my mind around, but I know it's going to taste yummy, and I'm not.
What do you mean, regular popcorn with garlic seasoning or
no,
something else?
No, think of if you've ever had popcorn shrimp
mm-hmm.
or you've ever had popcorn chicken.
Okay, so
popcorn
the garlic will be fried of some sort.
Yep, popcorned, I guess it would be the term. Yeah, and when I found that out, I'm like, I can't wait to try this.
That sounds delicious. I love garlic.
In years past, we've had competitions involving mixed drinks, including garlic. It runs the whole gamut. And also, there'll be Garlic Festival Foods will be out. They're one of the largest garlic seasoning makers. They're out of California.
Oh yeah, I've seen them.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're not at a garlic festival unless you've seen Garlic Festival Foods. And we love to have them out. They got some, they got some great products. And then there'll be a lot of local vendors selling local produce, local garlic, all sorts of stuff. Most of our crop was stunted this year, meaning that it won't be pulled out until after the vote. We had a very, very brutal winter this year. And so that kind of stunted some stuff. but there will be plenty of local garlic available. We target many different varieties so that we always have fresh local garlic.
And speaking of, well, before we talk about the different varieties, and then, of course, you'll have craftspeople. I know we'll be there with our jewelry, Butterfly Moon Designs. And then what other crafts? I mean, people must make things with the garlic stalk and garlic braids and things. What are some interesting...
I'm going to leave that up for a surprise. You guys should come on out. We do, since we are a family-oriented festival, family first, Carrie Lynn runs the Youth Corner, and they're going to be doing a lot of sustainable crafts, some of which will involve garlic, some of which will involve sustainability and permaculture ideas. So it's a great place to bring the kids out. The kids can go out to the boathouse and throw down with a lot of arts and crafts things, while the parents can go out and you know, and enjoy the sounds and the tastes and the and of course the drinks, because people like to have a nice drink when they go out to a festival. And so we will have that as well. We're going to have some great workshops involving some neat ideas with garlic and neat ideas with other things as well, from beekeeping.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead, beekeeping.
Mushroom growing, all sorts of, you know, different workshops. They're going to have to check out the schedule. It's going to be updated every day as it goes on, and we'll be adding some unique workshops to that.
And I do want to make sure people have that website for the St. Louis Garlic Festival on Facebook is facebook.com/GatewayGarlicFest, and make sure you like that page. The schedule of four events is posted there with the kids area, as he mentioned, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's all kinds of workshops, as he mentions. The whole schedule is posted on Facebook, and there's music and drumming late into the evening. So this is an all-day event. You can go there at pretty much sunrise for the ribbon cutting at 9 a.m. and the blessing in the out of the main gazebo all the way up until the end of the day. People are going to be hanging out. So, and parking, is that a problem down there, or plenty of parking?
Plenty of parking. And not only that, the festival technically ends at 7, but really at 7 o'clock after we close the festivities, like you mentioned, we bring in the drummers and the fire spinners, and they're going to put on a great after show. So.
And what's fire spinning? What's a fire spinner?
They basically have these things called poi that are soaked in fuel, and they light it on fire and they throw them around. It's a unique show, and they're very safe. They're very safe, and sometimes it's on sticks, sometimes they're on ropes, and it can't be described. It should be seen. So.
That sounds very different. And tell us about the entertainment. There's different bands performing. Tell us about some of the bands and some of the entertainment.
Well, we have Skychained. They're going to be opening up. They're a rock and roll cover band. I think the average age of those guys are about 15. And they play classic rock. They started playing music for their parents, who grew up on bands like Boston and REO Speedwagon. And Aerosmith. And these kids were just playing music for their parents because their parents would say, hey, play Aerosmith. So anyway, we're really excited to have these guys. And then, of course, we have Brian Greenway, a fantastic guitarist, fantastic singer-songwriter. He'll be playing in the afternoon. And then, of course, we'll have the Global Sounds of Raw Earth, that they basically run a universal music. It's unique their own. They basically, they're very eclectic, and they take from various different cultures, and they create this sound that's, like I said, is very unique their own, and they'll have the belly dancers out there with them. So
awesome. And a garlic eating contest. Now, is that raw garlic or cooked garlic?
Yes, ma'am, raw garlic.
Raw garlic. So whole clove chopped up? How do people do that?
Whole clove.
Whole clove. Oh, my gosh.
The world record.
I hope
is
that you have a lot of antacids somewhere nearby. And the raffle drawing, is that benefiting any organization? Are you selling raffle tickets? What does that benefit?
Yes, actually, I don't even have that information in front of me. I believe, I don't know if that's, I think that's benefiting the scout troop, the local scout troop. So,
okay, and the website, we just want to make sure everybody knows that where there's more information is garlicfeststl.com. It's been listed in a lot of the local papers. And so you can, on the website, get general information, get information about the guests and entertainment. Is it too late to become a vendor if there's anyone out there that wants to be a vendor?
They would have to call now. Let them get in.
Okay, call today.
Call today.
Otherwise, you're out of luck till next year. Okay.
Yep.
And you've gotten some sponsors this year. Do you have any sponsors you want to mention?
Of course, we would. We're very, very thankful for the Carondelet Business Association. They're a local business group down in South City, particularly the Carondelet neighborhood, and they do some fantastic things for the community. And opening this up as a public festival was their initial idea. They get that full credit with that. It's been a hit from, there on out. So if anyone's a local business owner in South St. Louis, I highly recommend you guys join and collaborate with the CBA as how they're known. They're just a fantastic group doing wonderful things for the community and for our local business too. So,
well, that's fantastic. I'm going to make sure, my friend Gail Gallagher knows about them. She's actually making a movie called Four Color Eulogy, and the movie is going to be filmed. They're actually filming today in South City, so I'll make sure she joins and goes to one of their meetings. I assume they have a website, et cetera.
Yep, and they also have a Facebook page, Carondelet Business Association, and you can find them on Facebook. You can find them online.
Okay.
Just,
All right.
Every vendor really is a sponsor. Every vendor that comes out believes in us, believes in the festival. So we love them.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue talking with Mark here about the Garlic Festival. We're taking a short break for a station identification. So stay with us. You're listening to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We'll be right back.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Are you looking for good deals and a way to shop local and support our community? Well, come to the Soulard Second Saturday, an artisan market and craft fair featuring products from local farmers, artisans, crafters, and antiques. There is something for everyone. Not only are there great products, but it is also feel-good shopping, knowing that your purchases support local farmers, artisans, and small businesses. Soulard Second Saturday is held every second Saturday of the month from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come by on June 14th. Soulard Second Saturday is located at 1919 South Broadway, just one block south of the Soulard Farmers Market. Soulard Second Saturday is a Metropolitan Community Church of Greater St. Louis Soulard Neighborhood Initiative. To learn more, visit www.mccgsl.org. We hope to see you soon in Soulard on a second Saturday.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. We were talking with the founder and creator of the Garlic Fest, and that's going to be on June 21 from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. down at Carondelet Park. And the PSA you just heard was for the second Saturday Soulard Market at MCC, Metropolitan Community Church of Greater St. Louis, 1919 South Broadway. And with me today is a jewelry designer. Her name is Patrice Billings of Butterfly and Moon Designs. And Patrice will be participating in both these events, the next two Saturdays and other events throughout the summer, showcasing handcrafted jewelry made locally right here in Missouri. Welcome to the show, Patrice.
Hey, thanks, Brenda.
Hey, so what are you looking forward to these outdoor markets? These are some markets that, one, you were in last year at the MCC Soulard Market, and the Garlic Festival is a first-time event for Butterfly and Moon. So tell us what will be new this year at these summer shows.
Well, I've got to tell you that after this long and cold and boring winter, I'm really excited about being outside and being in the company of all those folks that like to shop for handcrafted jewelry and other fine crafts that people have at all these festivals. But we have a lot of new things this year, including leather bracelets and cuffs for men and for women, and we use genuine Italian leather that's repurposed. And so these new crafts pieces that we've got are, in a sense, vintage and new at the same time. So they're a lot of fun, and there's all different sizes for people to try on. And of course, our other handcrafted pieces that use semi-precious stones and findings, and usually the stones that we have and have obtained are from around the world. So we like to support women from around the world that make some of these beads, and it's just, one of those things that jewelry making is a very therapeutic endeavor and craft, and I love doing it, and I love bringing joy to people who might find a piece that really appeals to them.
And like we were talking with Mark, it's a sustainable industry where using the, vintage belts and repurposing them, as well as helping to support the women in these other countries that make the beads by hand. Tell us a little bit about the beads from Africa that are now in the Butterfly Moon Design Collection that are made by Global Mamas.
So these beads are handcrafted in a town that's north of Cape Coast in Ghana. These women are part of an endeavor that was started by two Peace Corps volunteers who knew that there was much more to do in helping the women gain a foothold in the economy of Ghana, and the fact that by employing these women, they could also have the opportunity to send their children to school and further their education. Most of them don't get an education beyond the seventh grade if they can't afford it. So these women are making these beads from hand, by hand, and then they are distributed to nine different countries around the world, and they're available for purchase. And In doing so and purchasing the beads that are crafted by these wonderful women, we're helping to sustain their economic growth and viability in their own community. So it's a wonderful win-win situation, and I've got to give credit to the women that started Global Mamas for seeing the vision and being able to employ these women in desperately needed economic times.
Well, we definitely want to say a shout-out to Kristen and Renee Adams, of the founders of Global Mamas, who are getting an award at the end of June, the Shriver Award, presented by the National Peace Corps Association for humanitarianism. That's I got a tongue tie on that one, for seeing this vision and starting it back in the 90s. And they surpassed the 1 million mark in sales for the products that are now sold in 9 different countries, not only handmade beads made out of recycled glass. They make earrings and necklaces and bracelets with those beads and window ornaments, but they also make shea butter and batik clothing for children, for women and men. And Butterfly Moon is, I'm happy to announce, is an approved distributor and will be carrying some of the finished products that the Global Mamas have made, as well as some products we are making ourselves with the beads that were made in Ghana, as Patrice talked about, and making some new designs that will be showcased at some of these summer festivals. As you know, creating awareness around this program, there's been so much bad news coming out of Africa with what happened in Nigeria and the kidnapping of the girls, that this program is just such a success story where women are learning new skills, too. If they're not already crafts people, they are learning a craft that can give them an income and provide a future for their daughters and ways for their daughters to go to school and get educated. Patrice, any new things you want to share about social media? How do people find Butterfly Moon Designs on social media?
So, yeah, we have an Etsy shop, and that is www.etsy.shop/butterflyandmoon. And also Facebook page, which is under Butterfly and Moon Designs. And the Facebook page also has our listing of the events that we'll be at in the future coming up. And it's a good way to keep abreast of our new designs. We post regularly some of the new creations that we've got. People can actually buy right there. And we are working on getting our website, butterflyandmoon.com, to date and online pretty soon. So that's something to look forward to as well.
All right. And there will be events coming up for Global Mamas. I think the tentative date is Sunday, July 13th at the Center for Spiritual Living. There'll be a benefit concert. Some of the items there that are have just arrived from Ghana, the toxic-free shea butter is also one of the items we'll be carrying, will be at some of these events. If you'd like to host an event in your home or in your office, please contact me through Facebook, facebook.com/GalaForceLLC, or through the radio show, facebook.com/AliveToThrive. We are going to wrap up today a little bit early. Let get everyone have a jump on the weekend, and happy Friday the 13th. Please join us at the Soulard Market on Saturday, June 14th, 1919 South Broadway, or at the Garlic Fest coming up on June 21st in Carondelet Park in St. Louis. Thank you, everyone. We'll be back next week on the 20th with Jill Farmer, the author of There's Not Enough Time and Other Lies We Tell Ourselves. So she'll be talking about ways to tackle your to-do list with some great strategies so that you won't get overwhelmed and feel stressed out, but ways to manage your day, feel productive, feel content, and have time for yourself to do things like bike riding, going to the wineries, and making jewelry. Whatever is your passion, enjoy it. Live to the fullest. See you next week. Thanks a lot, Patrice, for being with us.